two-part series. Nazareth was this important city and to God, but it was really unimportant to the people of that region back then. There were only about probably 50 families that lived in a 10-acre zone, and that was part one, and you can watch that on our Facebook, or you can watch that also on our webpage. But it just shows how God, even though you're little insignificant sometimes, God still notices you. And he has a plan for your life. Nazareth showed us that. Bethlehem was last week, and it showed us that the house of bread, the house of David, and it was a place that God can meet your deepest need, whatever it might be. It's an awesome sermon, not because I preached it, because it's in God's word. And you can find that on our Facebook also and show it to your friends there. This sermon series that we're on right now, Jerusalem. Jerusalem lights, they can bring you peace. You know, in location, 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 when you buy your real estate or when you go after things, you want to have a high resale value. So sometimes you choose property that way. Or you want to live in the neighborhood that, you know, they're not going to build something by it. You choose very carefully where you might live sometimes. I know there's different atmospheres. Like if I go to the HEB on Marbach, it's different than the HEB on 1604 and like Blanco. These are different people. It's not the building's different, same layout. The tortillas are here. The bread aisle's over here sometimes. They have that roasted chicken that's over, you know where it's at kind of, and they have HEBs. But what's different is, you know what's different? The people, right? And that's what makes up the atmosphere of the place. And that's why it feels different, because different people. And so different people lived in Jerusalem. This was the center of religious activity during the time of Christ. And so there was a lot of that going on. So in Matthew chapter 2, let's look at what happened on the big screen in your handout. Are you there with me? Yes? So I printed them all for you today. And so it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Where did they come to? Jerusalem, yeah. And they asked, "Where is the one that was born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, as we just read a moment ago, he was what? Hey, he was perturbed. His hair was messed up that day. He had a bad hair day. He was all in the flesh, right? And he was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem, how many know if mama's not happy, no one's happy? And I know even some daddies, when daddy's not happy, he makes sure no one's happy too. So I don't know where we got the phrase, just mama. Dad's included too. Don't hit your dad like that, amen? Don't elbow him right now, amen? So this man had that type of power that he could disturb everybody because he was a king. And the Roman Empire had put this man in charge because he was very harsh. He was very cruel to people. He was a psycho king. He was the one that he says, "Hey, my son, he might take the throne. I'm going to kill my own son." His mama was a threat, and he killed his own mama. That's messed up, man. You kill your own mom? That's not right. I know some of y'all are real serious, but you can't. But that's how much of a psychopath he was. That he says, anybody that's a threat to me and my kingdom, he was a control freak to the max. I love that the wise men worshiped Jesus, and but it shows the contrast of this man, King Herod, how he didn't want to worship. He wanted to find out where Jesus was so he could kill him. I want to tell you today, beloved, that the best thing that you can do is not to be in control so much. And let God control your life. Would you finally surrender today the keys to the car? Would you finally surrender everything to Jesus and say, "Jesus, take it. It's yours today. I'm going to let you take over my life today," because he's a lot better at it than you are. Amen. And we don't want to get religious. We don't want to get controlling here. We want to let God take over our lives, especially during this Christmas season. There's a long history about Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, New Testament, the location of it was, it's mentioned a lot. Over 800 times it's mentioned, the city of Jerusalem. The city of David is another name, Zion. It doesn't have peace come to it, which is very interesting, even though it's known as a city of peace. And why is it that something would fight against a territory, the enemy would come against it so much, that it's meant to have? It's kind of like you. You're meant to have peace. You're meant to reside in the place that God's at. But the enemy sees you as this potential place of peace, and he fights you. He tries to take it away from you by having you emotional, or having you get full of drama. And God's saying, no, today you're mine today. And so this place of Jerusalem is destroyed twice. It's besieged 23 times. It's attacked 52 times. It's captured 44 times and recaptured. Amazing. A place that's called peace has all this drama happening. Again, God's trying to speak to us through his word today. Right, everybody? Jesus saw this center of activity, this religious place, as a place that he was from, his hometown, that he resided at mostly. And he would say, this is a place now I speak about peace. 2,000 years ago. And Jesus comes to Living Faith through his word and speaks about peace to you today, right? Amen. And he wants you to hear today. That's why King David, when he saw the conflict of it had been, and then what it had been as a superpower when he had it, because there was peace. David was the greatest king that ever lived. He wrote this in Psalms 122:6. Why don't you read it together out loud, not out soft. Let's do it on three. One, two, three, go. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love this city. I'm so glad that President Donald Trump, not the perfect president, nobody has been except Jesus, right? Amen. But he did something so symbolic a few weeks ago. He named Jerusalem the official city of Israel, the official capital of Israel. And it was done biblically. And you know, because America did that, America's going to be blessed. The scripture, may all who love this city prosper. America needs the blessing of God. Amen. Amen. And if we remain friends with Israel and if we prosper them and bless them and do all that we can, God will remember America. Amen. Amen. We're not God's chosen people. They are. But boy, do we need to get chosen by God, don't we, in this hour? Yes. Oh, I wish they would have been here, right? Jerusalem is known as the home of our King, not King Herod, but the home of King Jesus. And in the book of Revelations, it's going to be the new Jerusalem. It's going to be a new place. And that's where King, the Messiah, Jesus, will sit. See, San Antonio is not in the book of Revelation. Neither is Castroville. Neither is Lytle. Neither is Houston. Neither is Austin, Dallas. None of those cities. But Jerusalem's in the Bible at the very end. Because it's the place where Jesus was ruling and reigning now forever, the new heaven and new earth. I want to be part of Jerusalem. How about you, right? And so the Prince of Peace is there, taking the peace of God to there. There's over 790 verses in the Bible about peace. And we're going to talk about every one of them today. Why you laugh? Oh, you know, you saw them, that they're not in your handout, so you're safe. One guy's saying, really? Dude, really? I thought I came to church and you're going to do that to me for the first time. There's so many decisions, maybe on even where you went to church today, right? Like, can I go to Living Faith, or my boyfriend invited me here, or, you know, tonight, am I going to come back? And I hope you listen to God, not the devil, and you come back, right? So, so many, they affect your peace, you know. I love Christmas music. How about you? And so am I going to listen to the Temptations lead, Oh Silent Night? Or am I going to hear it from, you know, Ben Crosby? I think I'll listen to the Temps, amen. That's me, though. That's my weirdness. Don't you have to follow my weirdness, amen. So just so many decisions. I love the scents of Christmas. Pope, man, I love the smell. It's my one chick thing, okay? Don't take it away from me. Every man at Living Faith Church can have one chick thing. If you got two chick things, you can't go to this church. This is my one chick thing. Don't take it away. So I went to the Walmart aisle, and it's as big as the scent aisle during the holiday. It's as big as, like, the bread aisle. They have so many scents for Christmas, so many things that you can make your house smell better. And so, man, all these different. So I found, like, this one is a cozy cider sipping. Maybe I'll drink this, right? It's apple, cinnamon, and nutmeg. Go figure, amen? That's supposed to make you're supposed to sip that. There's the basic ones now, you know, pine and cinnamon, and those are cool, but there's like 200 other scents. I found this one is interesting. This is a Better Homes and Garden holiday edition, and it's called Pear Toddy. Not Teddy, but Toddy. What is a toddy? Oh, bourbon pear toddy. No wonder. I don't like it. Amen. Maybe it'll be better in some gingerbread or something. Mix this in there. This one's real nice. This is probably my favorite. It's tree lighting wonder. Amen. It makes you feel like the oh, the tree is lit, amen, and it makes me wonder about it. Is it going to catch on fire? No. That smells good, yeah. Yeah, it does, it does. This is my favorite right here, and I saved it for last. There it is. It's okay. We'll do a little bit of a trick there, amen. And it's this is called Warm Flannel Embrace. I want this on me, don't you? Well, I was going to spray it in my face. They're going to smell me, and they're going to go, hey, you smell like warm flannel embrace. Let me give you a hug. Yeah, I found this flannel shirt in the attic. Amen. Had some must on it, a little bit of musty, but I smell good. Amen. I'm getting kind of dizzy. I don't know what it is. Yeah. There's too many choices, right? Yeah, I mean, you get all these choices, and you smell it down there? Yes, I'm sorry. Drink something, amen. The angels appeared to the shepherds and declared there's peace available finally at last. And so there's this passage in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 when we find out where peace is at and how to attain it. And let's look at this Christmas season. Luke chapter 2 right there, verse 13 in your handout. Are you there with me? Come on, Facebook, you can even read it out loud where you're at on your screen. Read it with me because it's there in your notes. On three, one, two, three, go. At once, the angels join him with a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest heavenly hell. Yeah, yeah. Peace. All who please him, right, everybody? I'm going to adjust my mouth. Amen. There it is. And it's finally going to say the right thing. Amen. And the heavenly angelic choir right there. Do you know how many angelic beings there were there? 10,000 at least. So when they showed up, see, you need to picture the Bible. Don't do drugs. Amen. Do the Bible. When you visualize that, it's like visualizing this massive concert. Have you ever been at a great concert? And the music's outstanding. Can you imagine that night what the shepherds heard? No surround sound. No, it was beyond that. And they're singing with one voice, glory to God in the heavenly heights. Amen. God is there right now. Yeah, the earth was lifted that day. There was this wise guy that said, the way I achieve inner peace is this way. You got to finish things that you start. And so he looked around his house, this wise guy, and he noticed he hadn't finished some things. So he said, before I leave, I'm going to finish off the bottle of red wine. I'm going to finish off the bottle of white wine. I'm going to finish the Prozac. I'm going to finish some cheesecake. I'm going to finish the box of chocolate. And he finished it all. And, you know, he said, man, I feel good. See, I don't know how he felt the next morning, but he felt good that day. That moment. But the next morning was a reckoning. Do you understand that? And see, that's what earth peace will do. It'll just bring you temporary peace. And God's peace is something that you can have even in the middle of trouble, even in the middle of challenge, even in the middle of bad experiences today. I want you to experience God's Christmas peace these three ways. You can take this back with you when you're opening up the presents. If you didn't get the present you wanted, you can still have peace in your life, right? Have Christmas every day, by the way. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? Amen. And so let's experience it regardless of your circumstances. Number one is this. The peace of Christmas is in our homes, right? The peace of Christmas is in our homes, right? And so these shepherds in Luke chapter 2 on the big screen, 16 says this. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus who had been where? Notice the characters here. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And the shepherds. And certainly, Jesus changed Mary and Joseph's life. Later on, we don't read about Joseph so much when Jesus is an adult. But he was there, we have to understand, during the formidable years of his baby, his childhood raising. And Joseph's nowhere to be around. But boy, did he change Mary's life. She had to have been changed because she found herself probably without a husband later on in life. And God had to be her rock, which she discovered through her son, right? Mary's life was changed. I can imagine during those early years when Jesus was a baby and an infant, and Mary and Joseph said, we know we're raising God's son. We have to be, man, imagine that. I remember when our firstborn came, Rebecca, 24 years ago, we tried to do everything perfect. Thank God, as a youth pastor, the church threw a big thing for us, amen, and had that baby shower, and we got all these nice gifts and man, we had her in the right car seat. We made sure that was buckled. By the time Andrew came around, ah, is it buckled or not? Let's keep going, amen. Let's paint his room boy color. Oh, the fumes, amen. I don't know about that. We'll air it out later. Andrew, go ahead and sleep in. But you're so careful with that first one, aren't you? You just, you know, in Rebecca, with this awesome responsibility, looking at her precious little face and holding her and her tiny little fingers and saying, you know, God gave us, Irma and I, this responsibility of raising. Imagine Mary and Joseph being charged with the Son of God to raise him, right? Their lives would forever be changed. This strange sight happens right before this scripture. And, you know, it's this birthing room. And imagine the birthing room of your birthing room, Mama, and proud dad of your son. And here's all these shepherds hanging out in the birthing room. And they're in a cave, and they're just hanging out there because they're told to go find baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they're told, and it's not the most sterile environment. These guys were nomads. They were guys of ill repute. Nobody would take their testimony in court. That's how much of a reputation they had. Nobody wanted these liars around them. But that's where God shows up to these men, these shepherds that had this 8-to-5 type of job, this normal job, this job that was out of, everything was the routine for them. They watched sheep. How exciting to watch a sheep all day, making sure it doesn't get eaten by wolves. But that was the height of excitement. Yeah, this wolf came. Remember 1964, we finally got that one. You know, it was that sort of thing. And Jesus is born, and he changes these guys' lives forever. And so they hurried off after they hear the news. Aren't you glad that the first ministers of the gospel weren't Bible college graduates? Seminary-trained pastors? It was these guys that were backwards, truckers that just didn't know about God. And God chooses to say, go tell everyone. It's going to be so good within you that you can't help but to tell everybody these good news now. You're going to be that. Something had happened to him that was amazing today. I want the miracle of suddenly to happen to you, where life changes all of a sudden and you have to go a different direction. You're not going to watch sheep anymore. You're going to go announce something good now. You're going to go give good news to people. They're going to be amazed by the something like that can happen to you. Do you know that today? And it's Jesus. And Jesus changes our life so much that our hearts are so full that we can't help but to tell people, right? You got to quit some things so you can have life. And the shepherds quit some things so they could have life. I need you to quit a couple of things during Christmas. How about quit trying to please everybody? Because you can't. Just please God. You'll be all right. Just please God. Well, they bought me a present. I got to buy them something. No, not always, right? Oh, you really wanted a present. I'm sorry, right? Quit. How about this one? Quit trying to be a perfect host. I'm going to get some people mad at me. You might email me. It's okay if the house isn't perfect. You're not. Your house isn't supposed to be perfect. There's always going to be somebody with a better house. Wow. And one lady's only saying amen. She's been set free. Give me a good amen. Quit buying so much. Oh, I got to buy them something. No, you don't. The older that you get, and if you're old and you're still thinking this way, grow up. Grow up. The older that you get, you realize that it's not in the amount of what you spend or what you give to people. See, my mother, about for a month and a half, she's in a rehab center during this season, and it's a slash nursing home. They're taking good care of her. But my mom, I bring her knickknacks when I see her and bring, you know, and bring her pan and dulce and bake. And all that's good. But you know what my mom, now that she has everything, you know what she wants? She wants my time. You know what she enjoys the most? When I sit with her and we talk and I hug her. People want just your time. My family, the same thing. As much as they want gifts, there's nothing like having my children home for Christmas. How about you? Amen. Yeah, we don't need to buy so much and get into debt. Remember the gift of your time. It's the most valuable thing. Amen. The peace of Christmas should be in our homes. Jesus exemplifies this the best, and he's our teacher, isn't he? He's the one we should go after, right? Yeah. Jesus, one time he was, man, his poll numbers were going off the charts, man. He was healing people. He would just, you know, it was amazing, Jesus, just touching people, blind eyes being open, and it was just, he was rocketing in his popularity. And you know what happened? All these people wanted to get to Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, I'm human too. And I want to give you guys an example that read my Bible one day, the Testament. I want to show you how to live. So it says that Jesus backed up from all that popularity and all that drama, and he backed up and he went to an isolated place. And it says this in Luke, and he prayed. He got alone because he knew he couldn't please everybody. He knew he wanted to please just God. And if you please God, the rest is going to pan out, right, everybody? And so let our homes be as it is in Isaiah 32, 18. On three, let's read it together. One, two, three. My people live in peaceful dwellings. Come on this side. Yeah. Yeah. The dwellings of our homes are peaceful. They're secure. Thank God for Christ in our home. When the rest of the world is being pelted by hail, by something awful, downcast, bad vibes, you're going through the same thing, but you know what? You're not affected because you're blessed. Amen. You have this blessing in your heart. So yeah, how come you ain't messed up? Well, Christ is in my home today. Amen. Amen. The neighbors need that, which leads me really to a thought about the second thought, which is this, the peace of Christmas in our world today. Right, everybody? Amen. Be that ambassador that gives it not only to your children, good tidings and goodwill towards all men, but they learn it through your example today. Peace is a guide that your children can follow. They're going to see you in pressure points. Yeah, your children are your biggest assignment, aren't they? But they see that you still come to church. Give me a good amen. And they love church. Our children love church in this church. And they love for you to lead them to church. Thank God that you brought them today. Every year, the season comes along in our world. It gets chaotic. There gets pressure. We got people over coming over. We got things, and you don't want them to come over, but they got to come over because it's the way that it's done. And it's funny when the novice fight. That I'm talking about my family. When we fight, here's what happens. Okay, I ain't going. Okay, y'all go by yourselves. I ain't going. No, I ain't going. Now that's an old phone. Amen. I throw the phone. Amen. And break it. I talked to this lady. She told me, you know, that's why I was honest with her. And she said, you know what we do? He said, we still fight, but we end up still going. We're all mad around the table. I'd like to be at that table. Wouldn't that be fun? Christmas has so many different meanings to people in the world. For business, it's sales. Yeah, the malls are packed. Amen. Irma and I waited at TJ Maxx, man, for about an hour. Thank you, Jesus. I behaved okay. Stop it. Don't say that. Church, don't lie. Don't be lying in church. For children, it's gifts, right? For many, it's family time. Still others, man, I get that vacation, being out of school and work. But Christians, you have this inner quality, and it's called peace. And the best-selling books at the Christian bookstore, you know what they're about? They're about how to attain peace because you have anxiety. Because you have depression, you have stress, and you have frustration today. Boy, is Christmas really needed. Peace is really needed, right? In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, and when they had seen him, who's at him? It's Jesus, right? They spread the word concerning what was about to be this child. And when they heard it, they were amazed by what the shepherds had said to them. And so they said, these guys are truckers, man. We won't even listen to them in the court of law because they're of so low, but the angelic announcement of their Jesus for them to tell the world changed them so much when it came out of them, it changed everybody else around them. And that was good news, right, everybody? And so these guys aren't the same anymore. And so when Jesus comes into your life, into our lives today, he changes us. He makes us better. So we're not testifying of the same thing. It's fresh bread. It's bringing a blessing to people. So they can say of you, something happened to that man. Something happened to that person, that lady, because she's speaking good news and she's speaking something amazing. Jesus makes all the difference in the world, doesn't he? Yes. for our world, and don't they know it? Don't they need to hear it today? God's at work, and God wants to be in your workplaces, because when you leave your Christmas vacation, you'll go back into your world. Students that are in this room, yeah, he goes back into your schools with you. And I know it's not fashionable to talk about Jesus at your workplace. It's taboo maybe to read your Bible at school or read your Bible at your workplace, but it's fashionable to God, and you'll please God when you announce good news to people around you. Did you know that today? Amen. Yeah, I know there's rules and regulations and things that we get in these things, but no one, it never says that you can't read the Bible at work, right? Amen. On your own time, on your break, be a good employee, right, everybody? And at the school, you can still pray for your food today. I don't want you to leave Jesus in this church. I want you to take Jesus with you out of the four walls to help people at your workplace today. Amen. They need to hear the good news. When I was bivocational years ago and the church was still young and we didn't have the numbers in the sense of, so I could take a salary. And so I worked as a sales print guy, graphics, and the church was small and I wanted it to grow. So I used anybody. I would invite everybody. I would invite a dog if I would see a dog go by. Come on into church, dog. We'd save that dog, baptize him. The cats were fun. We'd baptize the cats. So I remember that the workplace at the print place I worked at, I would invite those guys to come to church, these pressmen, these guys that were other salesmen. And all of them responded in kindness. But I did get like one or two guys at the most that talked behind my back. And how I heard about them talking behind my back, because the guys that I would invite would tell me, hey, Jaime says that you invited him to church like that. You want to come to, he imitated, he said, would you come to my church? He invited me to church like that. And to this day, Jaime is going to hell. No, he's not going to hell. You know what? That's a little bit of persecution, but it ain't bad. Thank you. Amen. And so the good outweighs the two that didn't ever come, because many did come on the invitation. One was named Abel. And Abel was one of our first men that came to the church in the storefront building, and Abel came to Christ. Abel passed away probably about now 5 years ago, and young man, but he had Jesus in his heart. Amen. And he discovered Christ in this church, and his family was saved. Amen. Amen. You don't know what God can do before eternity happens to a person by your invitation, by your telling of Jesus to somebody. Amen. It's still not too late, right, everybody? In this farewell speech that Jesus gives, he says, guys, I'm going to get beat. I'm going to get forsaken. I'm going to get betrayed by one of y'all in this group. Someone's going to hurt me real bad. And I'm going to finally die after severe suffering on the cross. That's the way I'm going to die. And you think he would have wanted people to come up, because I sure would have wanted, guys, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to have a bad day on Friday, and I'm going to need some help. Oh, pastor, come on. We love you, man. We're going to cry with you. You know, we're going to be with you. You know what Jesus did? He did this kingdom upside down, and he says, nah, I'm going to encourage you. Maybe that's the way we should live in the middle of our suffering, so we look godly. In John chapter 16, verse 33, after telling all these things, he said, I've told you all these things. Yeah, he was the rabbi, he was the leader, and they were going to hurt. He said, so that in me you may have what?
Peace.
And in this world you will have what? But take heart, I have overcome the world. So look at the big screen with me and mess up your Bible so it's not messed, so you're not messed up later, right? In me, if I'm in Jesus, what am I going to have?
Peace.
I'm going to help you with the hard ones. You're going to have peace if you have Jesus. But if I'm in the world, I'm going to have what? So if you have a worldly attitude, you have worldly culture. These were Christians he was speaking to. Disciples had gone to Bible college 3 years. They'd been with him. And so he says, if you're going to bank on the world, if you're going to do everything in the world that it has to offer, but you're not going to be in me, then you're going to have lots of trouble. Now, you're going to have to go through things, but if you're in me, You're gonna overcome the world because I'm gonna overcome the world, and you're gonna have this golden thing called peace in your life in the middle of trouble. Don't you want that? I sure do. When Jesus wasn't really trying to say, oh, come on, man, cheer up. I know she broke up with you. She broke up with me, man. Oh, come on, buddy. There's other fish in the sea. It wasn't that sort of speech. It was, trouble came, but it can't stay because I'm overcoming. And you're overcoming with me, right, everybody? I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. I know I look younger, but that's okay. Amen. And there used to be, why you laugh? And so my dad and I would watch the luchas. And the luchas, for those who don't speak the heavenly language of Spanish, because you better learn Spanish, you're not going to be able to speak it. We used to watch wrestling. And it was real back then, not like it is now. And they would stage remember the 70s and 80s, there was this guy named Andre the Giant, huge guy, right? Man, remember that guy, the way he looked, and he later became a movie. Remember his hair? What a bad hair day, that guy. Imagine that guy coming down the street, right? There was a guy named, here in San Antonio, there was a guy named, Jose Lothario. Remember local guy? Remember Mira Mascaras? Man, that guy was awesome, man. He was the first, like, that's where they based Nacho Libre off of his life, right, everybody? There was a guy named Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes, the American dream, baby. He had to grow up in the 80s, amen. There was these guys named the Freebirds. Michael Hayes was like the leader. He was a spokesman. And Michael Hayes had this long blonde hair, and they were from Georgia. I'm coming to the Omni, baby. I'm going to be wrestling in the Omni. You know, he would go, the 80s are for the ladies. And you're looking at the ladies' man right here. He said that, not me, amen. The Freebirds fought these guys called the Von Erichs. Remember the high-flying Von Erichs? Remember Kerry Von Erich would fly, boom, and hit that guy? Man, it was incredible, and it was real. They would cut these guys and, you know, catch up. I mean, blood would come out right here, bite their heads. Remember the sleeper hold? They would put their hands. Anyway, the thing about wrestling, when my dad and I would watch it, my dad was so cool. When I would watch my dad, because my dad would get in on all these mannerisms. He'd be watching, he'd be going like this. I thought that might get on me at my age, but it never got on me. I still get into it, but I kind of watch, you know, when I watch football or the Spurs, you know, I get a little bit. But my dad had this drama going on in his life. And in the best wrestling matches were tag team matches, because they always had these good guys that were the tag team, like the Von Erichs. They would fight like the Freebirds, which were bad guys. And so these guys were bad guys and good guys. And the good guys, they would fight, and they would be in the wrestling match. And this good guy this would always kind of happen, even though it was real. The good guy would start getting beat up by the bad guy. He would pull something out of his trunks and, like, you know, smash him with these, metal things, or, you know, have a nail and it cut his head. And then the good guy would be yelling behind the tag team, he has something. And the referee would come over, what? And while he was coming, talking to him, the other bad guy would back the other good guy into the corner with the other bad guy, and they would even beat him up more, right? Remember that? And a chair would come out, and they would hit him with a chair all behind the referee's back. And I would always go, don't you see him? I would talk to the TV that way. Don't you see what's happening? And finally, if it got real intense, the referee would get, like, they would throw the referee out. They'd beat him up and knock him out of the ring. And it would, you know, while the referee is out of the ring, he's not seeing any of this, both bad guys would be pouncing and hitting this guy. And the good guy was trying to get in there, but he couldn't. And the referee would stand up and get the good guy that was about to come in and say, back off. You're not going to obey the rules. And the bad guys would beat this guy even up more. And here's what would happen. They would pin him to the ground, and the good guy was down, and the referee would go, one! I need to be in a home, man. Two! And while this was happening, the good guy would be reaching to the good guy. Remember that? Trying to reach out. Touch my hand and tag me, man. Tag me. And he would extend everything he had. And all of a sudden, before he went three, the good guy would slap his hand and the good guy would come in. And when the good guy came in over the ropes like that, a little bit better than me right now, jumping, he would come in and he would do something like this. Woo! It's about to happen now. He was mad because they beat up his boy. He said, I saw the way you beat him. I saw the way you took him. And the bad guys were like this, right? Remember that? And the good, man, I got dizzy. And the good guy would just make a show of them, a spectacle of them. And it would go down then, and he would pin them after like 5 minutes of brutality. The good guy would be winning. And it would be one, two, three. And he would not only raise the good guy, other good guy, but the other guy that was beat up, they would bring him in the ring. And they would raise both of their hands. And in a world of trouble, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen. And beloved, today, not only you get the benefit because Jesus wins, you win if you're his child. You can go the way of the world and be bad. Don't be a bad guy in the ring. Or you can go the way of God and win today. Amen. Because God does that in our lives today. I have overcome the world. Amen. Everyone needs the peace of Jesus in their hearts. Are y'all okay to get oxygen later, right, everybody? The third point is this. It leads me to this last thought. The peace of Christ is in our hearts today. Look at Mary's reaction. The shepherds, you know, they got excited. But Mary calmly took it all in. And the Bible says she meditated in her heart to understand the deep meaning of it all. I love our ladies. My wife has this incredible trait most of the time. There's something quiet about my wife, but there's this quiet strength that I know she's thinking about it. Mary had that in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It says this. Are you there with me? Amen. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Yeah, how, Lord? And her mouth didn't open, but she kept her mouth shut. And that's what probably made her the Christian that she was. And she said, Lord, it's going to work out. It's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to get out of this cave that we're in with this baby. But she pondered those things. And there's just quietness of the soul that's in your heart today. An abiding habit of peace in your life that you bring upon. For I know the plans that I have for you. She was probably thinking. She thought about Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament. Plans that are good, declares the Lord. Plans that aren't going to harm me or harm this baby or harm my family. Plans to give me a hope and plans to give me a future. She looked at her baby, Jesus, right, everybody? She held that child today. The peace of God describes this relationship that God stepped into our chaos and gave us peace finally. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he looked at the centurion Roman guard guarding him, that wouldn't let him out of his sight, chained to him, he wrote to the Philippian church. In conclusion, he says this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding, it's going to guard your where? Your and your, boy, don't we need it, amen, in Christ today. It was this military action of guarding. The Greek word is a military active way that God, if you're in him, if you're not in him, then don't expect it. But if you're in Christ, you're going to get peace in your mind and you're going to get it in your heart today. Amen, amen, everybody? Amen. Do you want that? Yes. Let's bow and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch the people of faith today. They're called living faith for a reason. And I pray that their homes are filled with the scent of heaven today, this season especially. I pray that the message, God, may have touched their lives today, that there's peace in their homes, that there's children right now that have peace, that their marriage, Lord, is blessed, that the conflict now, if they're facing that as God's people, if they're disturbed, as Herod was disturbed, God, I pray that they would open their hands to you. Right now, if that's you, the Holy Spirit is here, and this is strong right now. God is here. God is able to meet your need as a Christian. Open your hand to God, just symbolically above your lap, and take the gift of peace right now, of Christmas. Father, touch the people of the Lord, that thing that's disturbing their mind, it's affecting their heart, Lord. Someone in this room, you have an accelerated heartbeat, and it's not normal, of course, and God wants to heal you right now, but he wants to heal your mind first and your soul. Receive the healing of Jesus by giving it to him. Be in Christ right now, not in yourself today. Don't make yourself sick over the holidays. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch the people of the Lord as you minister to them. As I continue to pray, I want you to have the peace of Christ in your heart today. And the only way that you can have that is by inviting Jesus into your heart. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You're far away from God right now, at this very moment. And Jesus made a way for you. He died on the cross that you would have peace during the season. There's no better time than right now. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hands lifted high, just above your lap, above you, so I'll note it. I'll pray a prayer. You can pray right where you're at. I'll pray at the platform here, but I won't embarrass you. If that's you, on the count of three, would you receive Jesus as your Savior today so you can have peace? Yeah. You're far away from God. God would come near right now as your hand's lifted. On three, one, two, three, lift your hand if that's you. Lift your hand, yes. Just making sure, if that's anyone. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down, amen, if that's you. There's one person that lifted their hand, amen, and I'm going to pray. You're going to help me pray with them, amen. We're sinners by grace today, sinners saved by grace. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear today. Let's pray this prayer out loud. You that lifted their hand right now, you're my sister in Christ, you pray it. Let's pray this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Make me new again. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for a new beginning. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. One person received Christ today. Let's bless them. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.